This is AgriFutures On Air, brought to you by AgriFutures Australia, driving innovation in Australian agriculture.
Just imagine that you've stumbled across a product or service that the world has been crying out for but just didn't know it. Everyone's dream, right? Well, that describes perfectly Australia's seaweed industry. An industry in its infancy, but with help from AgriFutures Australia, ready to leap onto the world stage. Hello, I'm Chris Brown. On today's podcast, we're going to hear about the incredible potential seaweed has to provide a range of benefits, from economic, great business outcomes, social, jobs and more jobs, to environmental, cleaning up our oceans, and even potentially reducing greenhouse gases. Compared to many other primary industries in Australia, seaweed right now is a tiny industry, one that has significant growth potential. To realise that potential, you need a plan. And that's where AgriFutures Australia stepped in and began working with the Australian Seaweed Institute to develop an industry growth blueprint. To say that blueprint is ambitious only reflects the outstanding potential seaweed has across many areas. To tell us more, my first guest is Joe Kelly, who is the CEO of the Australian Seaweed Institute. Joe, just to set the scene a little, can you tell us a bit about yourself and how you came to be working in the seaweed industry?
Yeah, sure. Thanks, Chris. Well, I guess started my love of the ocean from childhood. I grew up in a place called Bribey Island in Queensland, and it's a beautiful place surrounded by water and oyster farms, and fishermen and pelicans greet you as you come over the bridge onto the island. So, I've had a strong affiliation with the ocean and nature from a young age, and that sort of led me down a career path into becoming an environmental engineer and really specialising in water and wastewater for many years. And from there, I sort of had a career path change again and went into business strategy and consulting and started applying my engineering knowledge to solving business problems before reigniting my passion for doing good for the environment and coming back into a role at Australian Ethical Investment in Sydney as their head of strategy. And in that role, I really sort of grasped, I think, the importance of starting new regenerative industries in Australia that can actually do the right thing by people and the environment. And so that led me on a couple of years of research into looking for, you know, regenerative industries that we need to start in Australia. And obviously renewable energy is a major one. But in that research journey came across seaweed aquaculture as the most regenerative form of aquaculture and agriculture on the planet. And looking at the role it plays in protecting ocean health, as well as being a valuable bioresource, either for human food or animal feed or biofertilizers, and more recently, bioplastics and other products as well. So from there, really saw the opportunity for Australia to start to play in this global industry and, you know, saw my role as, you know, really helping to kickstart that and get things going here. And that's what I've been doing, working on the blueprint for a new seaweed industry in Australia for AgriFutures.
That's an interesting journey. There must have been a point at which you said, I've got it, seaweed. That's what I'm going to devote my attention to. What was that moment?
Yeah, that's a good question. It was probably about 2.5 years ago now where, look, I was convinced of the environmental benefits predominantly, but also saw the economic advantages that seaweed could bring. And, you know, seeing those two things really makes it a very unique opportunity for an industry that can protect ocean health and, you know, provide human nutrition as well as sustainable jobs in aquaculture. So, yeah, that was the moment about 2.5 years ago where I just really looked at the nexus between the blue economy, food sustainability, and ocean health, and just saw this as an amazing opportunity where we weren't actually doing anything much in Australia at that stage. It was a very enlightening experience because I did feel really moved to actually commit to this path for the next decade.
Now, you mentioned that it's not a large industry in Australia. Give us a word description of the state of the industry right now.
One word. Small. Fledgling, I'd say. So, you know, right now in Australia, the industry is predominantly based on wild cast collection or beach cast collection of seaweed. So that's where it washes up on the beach and people have permits to collect it. There's a small amount of on-land aquaculture going on in two facilities in Australia, and we've just seen the first ocean farm under construction down in Tasmania, which is a really great step forward. But we're going to see rapid development of this industry over the next 5 years.
So are we talking about an industry that's worth, what, a few million dollars a year?
Yeah, so our estimates are that it's about $3 million a year, and that's just from the beach cast collection predominantly and a bit of stuff grown in on land facilities.
What are they doing with the seaweed? What happens to it once it's collected right now?
So depending on where that's happening, so predominantly down at King Island, that is being collected and then dried and then sold to alginate or for extract out of seaweed. Some of it's sold for biofertilizer purposes. So that's the predominant piece of the market. And then we've got sort of other boutique players around Australia that might turn, say, golden kelp at Sea Health Products down on the New South Wales coast. They dry it and turn it into flakes that you can add into your food. And we're seeing the FICO Health products at also in New South Wales at Shoalhaven. They're grown in an aquaculture facility on land being added to things like pastas and salts and things like that. So there's a bit of human food and there's a bit of biofertilizer and there's a bit of extracts which are for food production too.
The seaweed we find on our sushi rolls, does that come from Australia?
No, we don't grow any of that type of seaweed here in Australia at the moment, but there's no reason why we can't because there are native species of that seaweed that occur in Australia.
So there's lots of different types of seaweed, is there? And Australia is well equipped with those varieties?
Yeah, thousands of species. You know, looking at the global market analysis, there's about 10 that are the predominant species that are cultivated in that $16 billion global market. So we do have in Australia some of those or comparable species, not the exact same type necessarily. And there are then also thousands that have never even been looked at to see what properties they might have either for food or nutraceuticals or cosmetics, etc.
I'm beginning to understand why it's so exciting to you. There's just so many unknowns there that are yet to be discovered. Let's look at the blueprint now. You've set some 5-year targets and some 20-year targets. So first off, what's your 5-year target in industry development?
Yeah, well, the blueprint lays out the economic analysis we've done around a whole range of opportunity areas in Australia. But in summary, we're looking for the market to be worth over 100 million in gross value of production in the next 5 years. So that's a massive increase from the current 3 million gross value of production we have at the moment. So 100 million at plus. So there was a range given in the blueprint, you know, from 100 million to about 300 million that we're predicting. And this is based on pretty conservative estimates, working with the commercial businesses around Australia who are actually in this space. The other aspect, because the thing I want to emphasize about the seaweed industry is that it's got economic, social and environmental impacts. And the big social impacts are really from the regional job creation that we can get out of it. So we're estimating about 1,200 jobs would be created in the next 5 years around seaweed, and whether that's in the cultivation space, so the aquaculture space, or whether it's in the biotech space in terms of creating new products from seaweeds. And the other big outcome of this industry in 5 years is that we're going to see a 3% reduction on Australia's carbon emissions, which is really exciting. And that is predominantly coming from the cultivation of a very special species of Australian seaweed called Asparagopsis, which has been shown by the CSIRO to reduce methane emissions in cattle when it's sprinkled into their food. So an industry that's going to be worth over 100 million with 1,200 regional jobs and a 3% reduction in Australia's carbon footprint.
Look, they're massive targets. So obviously, I've had a look at the blueprint and there's so much detail in there. Clearly, these are just not ambit figures that you've plucked out of the air. There's some serious planning that is its foundation.
That's right, yes. So we've engaged with, you know, over almost 50 stakeholders around Australia, right from the regulators in each state through to all of the startups and entrepreneurs that are entering into the aquaculture space. And so those projections are based on real knowledge of what's happening and what people are actually planning to do over the next 5 years. You know, we see there's a real opportunity to leverage some of the work that's actually happening in Tasmania at the moment. And that's some CRC project that's going on in Tasmania is looking at kelp farming around salmon farms. So that can be expanded significantly over the next 5 years, as well as the real push into commercial cultivation of Asparagopsis, which is the methane reducing seaweed. So they're the two big opportunities we're seeing in the next 5 years.
This is not just sort of collecting seaweed from beaches and so on. You're actually talking about developing seaweed farms.
Yes, absolutely. So the biggest, I guess, change or transformation for the industry in the next 5 years is ocean farming. So really inshore ocean farms we'll see spring up in a lot of what we're calling seaweed regions around Australia in the next 5 years.
So we're talking about not just an industry for the existing players, but new players as well.
Yeah. In fact, there's been a lot of new entrants in the last 12 months that are getting serious about seaweed and getting started in Australia. But we want to create an environment where more people can enter the market. So what we'd like to see is essentially the blueprint lays out a pathway for how we can provide best practice guides and advice and a market, a ready market, such that, you know, new aquaculture businesses can get started and get going and start farming seaweed.
And is the opportunity not only just in the farming, but in the downstream value adding of the seaweed?
Yeah. So again, really emerging in this space. Actually a great Tasmanian company that extracts nutraceutical, it's called, which is good for human health. And that's mainly based on imported seaweeds at the moment. So, you know, there's already some advanced manufacturing going on with seaweeds. It's just not with Australian seaweeds. So we'd love to see Australian seaweeds go into that process. Also, there's a lot of work predominantly by the universities around the country looking at advanced manufacturing like biorefinery processes, which means you can get more than one valuable product out of seaweed by putting it through a refinery process. And so we'll see more of that research and development going on in the next 5 years to create new products and discover new products from seaweeds.
Okay, let's get into the nitty-gritty of the report. You ready for that, Joe?
Yep.
Yeah, okay. Now, we'll get to some of the amazing benefits. So you've already talked about a fair few of them, but we'll delve down into them a little bit later. But there are some hurdles that need to be overcome. So talk to me about them.
Yeah, I guess it's like anything new. You're always up against it at the beginning. So that's exactly where we're at with the seaweed industry. So it's not recognised at all as part of the fisheries and seafood fisheries or aquaculture industries in most states. There's a couple of exceptions, and that's where we'll start in Tasmania and South Australia, where they're already embracing seaweed as a aquaculture type. And that's the work that the industry group will be doing, is getting that more embraced into the mainstream aquaculture policy in each state. So that's one of the barriers at the moment. Is it's just, I was going to say it's the poor cousin, but it's not even seen as a relation, I don't think, by a lot of the traditional fisheries organisations and regulators around Australia just yet. So that's the work we've got to do. The other barriers include just the really lengthy and burdensome process for getting new ocean lease approvals. So, you know, we're looking in New South Wales and Queensland at the moment at being a minimum of a sort of a 2-year process to even get anything approved. And that's, you know, far too long for commercial industries. And that's really where we're going to see the industry, I guess, growing quicker in places like South Australia and Tasmania, where they're already embracing it.
Is that a result of the fact that it's just not recognised as an industry, and perhaps those regulations have been designed for other industries but don't quite have a nice fit with seaweed?
Yeah. So that's where we need to get it embraced more into the mainstream. I mean, the National Aquaculture Strategy for Australia wants to see the aquaculture industry doubled here by 2027, I think the target was. And so they're trying to get to a $2 billion target. What we're offering is a new sector that can be included as into that National Aquaculture Strategy that could help deliver on those outcomes that we're trying to achieve. So this is the work that we've got to do, is actually get it embraced. You know, the other thing I love about seaweed is that it's not just an aquaculture industry, it's also a biotechnology industry. And that is, you know, a major thrust of many state governments and the federal government as well, in terms of innovation, new product development, advanced manufacturing industries. So, you know, seaweed can be across those things. So it's not necessarily, you know, your traditional fish aquaculture industry. It's actually an aquaculture and a biotechnology industry. And so we need to have coverage across all of those policy domains.
You mentioned that one of the major benefits of a seaweed industry is the labour component of it. But do we have the skills? Are the skills there that would be needed to fill that labour demand?
Well, we think we've got the labour. I think the skills and knowledge is the thing. So, you know, this is a new aquaculture type for Australia. That would be something we'd need to develop as an industry, is the training and development program. The other group that we're really interested in working with is the Indigenous sea country people around Australia, who are looking for opportunities for economic and social development in their communities. And so we're already seeing some of that happening in South Australia with one of the big companies down there, CH4, which is partnering up with Noongar Nation to look at Asparagopsis cultivation. So there's certainly a big opportunity for Indigenous participation in this industry.
How do you think the general public will view the development of a seaweed industry? Do you think they'll see it as a good thing?
I think it captures people's imaginations. And as an Australian living, most of us live near the water, I think we can appreciate that growing plants in water is a positive environmental thing. So the environmental benefits associated with seaweed aquaculture, you know, include that it takes out nitrogen and phosphorus and carbon dioxide out of the water. It provides habitat for fish, as well as then being a useful product once harvested. And I think because it's got those environmental benefits, you know, you don't add fertilizer to it, there's no waste from it, it's the most sustainable form of aquaculture we can get, that once those benefits are communicated to people, that we're seeing great public support for it.
Jo, you've mentioned a couple of times the Asparagopsis variety. Is variety the right word? But there's also kelp is seen as, I suppose, some low-hanging fruit in Australia. Talk to me more about kelp.
Yeah, so kelp is predominantly temperate species, so in the colder waters, so sort of from southern New South Wales all the way around south of Australia and up the bottom of Western Australia as well. The kelps are the big brown seaweeds. There's a large biomass, and the great thing about kelp is it absorbs a lot of carbon dioxide and nitrogen and phosphorus out of the water to grow. That's what it uses to grow. So it's fantastic in terms of ocean protection as well as providing great habitat. So the kelp we're seeing piloted in Tasmania at the moment, around both the tassel salmon and Huon salmon are testing and piloting kelp growing around their fish farms. And that has the benefit of taking the nitrogen-rich waste that's coming from the fish pens and filtering that through the seaweed. So that is a fantastic opportunity, and there's a term for that, an integrated multitrophic aquaculture, which essentially means, you know, a number of different species growing together and the synergies that can come from that. So we're seeing that as a great opportunity for existing aquaculture operators around temperate Australia to actually adopt kelp both to help with their environmental performance, but also to provide another diversification of revenue for them as well.
And is there a product at the other end of that?
So the number of products are being developed at the moment as part of this big project that's going on in Tasmania. Kelp can be used for food products as well as fertilisers, and there's some valuable extracts that can come out of them as well. So that's under development at the moment.
All right. Well, look, where to from here then, Jo? What's next? What comes after the blueprint?
Well, we're moving forward with AgriFutures into the blueprint implementation phase. So looking to kick off early next year a range of the initiatives that are outlined in the blueprint, including setting up this dedicated industry group that can do a lot of the work that we need to do around policy and regulation, as well as working with businesses around Australia to look at how we can get a national hatchery network established. And that would then provide seeded ropes such that new seaweed farmers can get started in different areas around Australia. And we're also looking at doing what we're calling cluster planning, which is really focusing on a number of key regions where there are a group of seaweed ventures already begun, and there's an appetite from the state government to actually support seaweed aquaculture. And so we're looking at cluster planning to help those regions accelerate their development.
Well, Jo, look, it sounds on the surface, or perhaps more correctly below the surface, it's a fantastic industry because it's delivering environmental benefits as it grows and then delivering products across a range of areas when it comes out of the water. It seems like a natural to me.
Yeah, we really say that seaweed ticks all the boxes. You know, it's a win-win-win from an economic, social and environmental perspective. Also from a food sustainability perspective, from an ocean health perspective and from an emissions reduction perspective. So it's a real and rare opportunity for Australia to develop this new regenerative seaweed industry here.
And add to that, Jo, I suppose the fact that Australia being the largest island in the world, we've got the coastline to do it.
We have. And comparatively, we've got pristine waters around the coast of Australia. You know, we haven't got the levels of pollution in the highly developed countries that, you know, may still not have wastewater treatment to the degree that we do. So we really do have an opportunity here. And what we've tried to do with the blueprint is really highlight that this is a major new industry that we can establish in Australia.
Jo Kelly, the CEO of the Australian Seaweed Institute. Now, as Jo mentioned, the industry right now is very small, but that's not to say it doesn't exist. That would be unfair. People already have businesses directly reliant on Australian seaweed, and there's a small research community working to improve the science of growing seaweed. One of those researchers is Katrina McLeod from the University of Tasmania. Katrina is working with TASAL, Australia's largest producer of Tasmanian-grown Atlantic salmon, and Spring Bay Seafoods, who specialise in blue mussels.
Probably my main involvement is through a CRC project that we've got up and running with TASAL and Spring Bay Seafoods. It's called the Seaweed Solutions CRC, and you know, people feel free to hop on our website and have a look at that. But that's looking at seaweed as an option for integrated multi-trophic aquaculture. It's when you grow seaweed alongside finfish. In this case, we're working with salmon and shellfish, and Spring Bay Seafood are great producers of mussels. The three together complement each other. So you utilize the waste nutrients that come from the salmon to help enhance the seaweed growth, and the particulate, the small particles of waste material, the shellfish take those up. So together, they complement each other. In some ways, you can manage some of the negative aspects of the nutrients going into systems from the finfish, but it also enhances the production of the other species. Obviously, the Chinese have been doing this for millennia, not calling it IMTA, of course, there. They just do it sort of cool culture, polyculture. But it's taken off in Canada and in Europe to some extent. And a lot of places are doing it with different species. So given the excitement around developing a seaweed industry down here, we thought we would have a look and see what we can do in Tassie around the finfish farms, the salmon farms.
Has that been going a long time, and how's it working?
We started middle of last year. We kicked off. COVID's given us a little bit of a jolt. Fortunately for us, we've managed to keep the seaweed going. And the real downtime was that our research teams weren't able to mix as well as we'd hoped. It's a collaboration also with Deakin University over in Victoria. But no, it's going well. We had our first harvest in. We're growing three species, the giant kelp Macrocystis, Clonia and Lasonia, which are smaller kelps. And we've actually got them in the water on lines growing. We have three locations we're growing them at. And yeah, very promising. We're very keen to share that knowledge. So the partners in the project have been very enthusiastic about sharing the knowledge more broadly. Our general feeling is we're in the pre-competitive stage. And I think Joe's in on that too. We've been talking a lot with Joe and the two other CRCs that are in this space, which is the Marine Bioproducts CRC and the Blue Economy CRC. We're trying very hard to find mechanisms to make sure that when this project finishes, that knowledge transfers and is picked up by the broader developing seaweed industry.
Enlarge the pie, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Is the seaweed harvested after a time and new seaweed planted?
Depending what seaweed you grow, the strategy for growing it is a little different, which is one of the exciting things we're finding. So the Macrocystis, the giant kelp, its growth strategy is a little different. The timing is a little different. If you're like land-based farming, you know, if you've got multiple species in land-based farming, you deal with them in different ways. Same thing applies in the marine systems. And that's been very interesting to learn and challenge to deal with. They come in at different times, so they grow at slightly different rates. They have slightly different light and temperature requirements. So that's actually been quite an interesting challenge too, is learning how to manage. You can't take it all in at once. Much like your standard farming, we have to harvest a little bit here, a little bit there, looking for where the market is too and what the market demands are. That's still early days in that space. That's another part of the project, is actually looking at when we grow these seaweeds, what do people want them for? And so trying to make sure that the seaweeds that we do grow are specific to that market. They've got the right quality for the market.
So your background is in environmental science. It must be terribly exciting to be right at the start of what seems to be potentially a very, very successful industry, the seaweed industry.
Yeah, it is. It's very exciting. When you're working with an industry that's just starting up, the excitement, the buzz, it really is. It affects all of us. We all get quite excited about it. And the learning curve is steep. So there's a big jumps forward. So it's exciting to be able to share that. And that's one of the nice things too, as I think I might have said earlier, is being in this pre-competitive space. Often as the industries develop, they get to the differentiation between the companies or the producers becomes leaner and they become a little bit more competitive in the marketplace. But right now, the opportunities are there for everyone. The Australian industry is very small, so people are willing to give everybody a leg up. And that's a really exciting place to be, particularly as a scientist, because you feel the researchers, the benefits we can give, people are just grasping to pick them up. And that's really exciting when people want your results, your work, your information. It's a very good place to be.
I can hear it in your voice. How important has the blueprint been in terms of mapping out the direction that the industry needs to take?
Oh, Joe's done a great job with that. Being able to connect everybody up is really good. It's a pathway she's presented. So really showing where the opportunities are so that people can get together and work towards them.
At the start of an industry, I suppose the science community within that industry in Australia must be quite small. How are you finding that?
You're absolutely right, Chris. There is quite a small pool of researchers working in the seaweed space. And that's one of the lovely things about this sort of startup industry, where it is that collaboration. The researchers are working quite closely together and know each other quite well. But it's also given us an opportunity to work and collaborate quite extensively internationally. You know, Southeast Asia has a lot of experience in this area, as does quite a lot in Europe and North America. There are areas where they've done quite a lot of work around seaweed culture. But by no means are we in the back foot with this. There's some really good innovation coming out of Australia. And we're increasingly being seen as equal partners in the discussions rather than the newbies on the block. So, no, exciting place for the research community at the moment. In fact, the foremost international seaweed conference in the world is coming here in 2022. So hopefully by that time, we'll have some really exciting results to showcase from Australia at an Australian event.
Katrina McLeod from the University of Tasmania. Now, as I mentioned at the start of this podcast, this exciting new era for the Australian seaweed industry probably wouldn't be underway if it weren't for the support coming from AgriFutures Australia to guide the development of a seaweed industry blueprint for future growth. Tom McHugh is the Senior Manager for Emerging Industries Business Development with AgriFutures Australia. Tom, it's not often that I come across an industry with so much potential that is brand new, but that's your job. What support were you able to offer the seaweed industry to take that next step?
So in the first instance, Chris, we looked at the Australian seaweed industry, and we do this with many industries. The first question we ask, what are the key drivers that are needed to help an industry grow? What are the research, development and extension questions that an industry also needs to know about? And how do we stocktake that right at the beginning so that we have a good understanding of the spectrum of issues that that industry faces? And seaweed was no different. We certainly wanted to see what the spectrum of issues were for industry growth. So capitalising on what are some of the growth challenges that the industry experiences, what are the best prospects for growth, and also what are some of the challenges that may lie ahead, particularly that many industries such as seaweed are one of many players on a global sense. So it's about understanding where the Australian market fits in with the much larger market globally, and also to look at what are the opportunities that our Australian coastlines and farming enterprises have that can deliver to the world.
So AgriFutures Australia effectively provided the resources and wherewithal to create this blueprint, I suppose.
Yeah, exactly, Chris. So the idea is to pull together representatives from right across the value chain, whether they be a producer, a researcher, a commercial body, investors and regulatory people, looking at government interactions and also looking at the different range of use cases. So whether it be food, cosmetics, nutraceuticals and animals. So it's really about understanding what are the different needs, how well is the marketplace suited towards those needs, and then what needs to happen to make it happen and how do you scale it?
Yeah, one of the things that really impressed me was the capacity for employment and also investment, new investment, I suppose, where the industry has some existing players, but it's wide open for new players to come into it. Is that one of the aims as well, to expand opportunities in an agricultural sense?
Absolutely, Chris. And certainly one of the things that we look at all emerging industries is how do we scale it? Not only from a production sense in terms of output, but in terms of the people that are providing towards that output, what type of resource base is needed to actually generate the volume of commodity that helps an industry work at a large scale and one that delivers value back, not only the individual, but to that industry and the economy more widely.
So, Tom, how do you see AgriFutures Australia's role developing in the seaweed industry? I suppose with any investment you make, there's a start point and an end point.
Well, certainly one of the things we encourage in emerging industries is looking at how we play a part in the development of an industry and also facilitate the exchange and network of key investors and research providers across that sector. And so this instance with the Seaweed Blueprint, we certainly work closely with other organisations that conduct research and development, including the Fisheries Research and Development Corporation and some of the other RDCs that are in the mix, such as Meat and Livestock Australia. They certainly have played a role in some of the areas that have been identified in the plan. I think importantly, with any emerging industry, it's about, you know, not trying to do it alone. Work on key partnerships that help that industry grow, and also look at the whole value chain and what the roles and functions of that value chain are to work together. And certainly, I guess from our role, research and development is a critical part of any growth of the seaweed industry. So we'd be looking at what research and development needs and extension needs are needed for the seaweed industry, and how do we partner with our fellow RDCs and other key players in the seaweed value chain.
Your response leads perfectly to my next question. The seaweed industry, from my look at it, is a really good example of the sort of work that AgriFutures Australia does well. Here we have a very small industry that I suppose without your help would have continued to be a small industry for years to come.
Well, I think, you know, as we're really at the formative stages by having this blueprint, the next issue is how do you actually make it happen? And I think, you know, now that we have social, economic and environmental opportunities identified, looking at some of the gaps and barriers that have been identified, but also the research, development and extension needs, the next step really is to look at what are the options and the priorities for actually investing and contributing with other organisations and directly ourselves into the Australian seaweed industry.
Tom, you've been obviously working with all of these players. Are you excited about moving forward from here?
I think the sector as a whole has a lot of excitement. There's a lot of potential that is unrealised at the moment. And I think, you know, certainly from the point of view of the sector itself, there's a lot of goodwill from a number of different organisations. And I think the good thing about the blueprint was that a large number of organisations were consulted, which was definitely something that AgriFutures wanted to see. There wasn't any negative experiences in developing this plan. It certainly tries to encapsulate many of the priorities that have been identified by industry. And so I think there's generally goodwill and enthusiasm to make it work.
Yep, an exciting place to be right now, knee deep in seaweed, a minor nuisance for swimmers and surfers on our beaches, but a multi-million dollar industry just waiting to happen. I was speaking there with Tom McHugh, who's the Senior Manager for Emerging Industries Business Development with AgriFutures Australia. And before Tom, Katrina McLeod from the University of Tasmania. And of course, Joe Kelly, the CEO of the Australian Seaweed Institute. Well, I hope you learned lots about the amazing potential of Australian seaweed. I know I did producing this podcast. So if you're an industry participant, you have an exciting future ahead. And if you're a casual observer, then I'm sure you're going to be hearing a lot more about seaweed, Australian seaweed, and soon. My name is Chris Brown.
You've been listening to AgriFutures on Air, a weekly podcast brought to you by AgriFutures Australia.